That's right. I think it's kids aged 4 through 4th grade, right? Is that right? 4 through 4th grade? 5 through 4th grade. All right. And Sue has got some great things back there, including a pretzel boat snack or craft that they're going to do. It looks like they've got some great things going on. You know, we're talking in this series and all in about the gifts and things, and my own perspective on gifts, my own gifts have kind of changed over the years, and sometimes I think spiritual gifts change for a person depending on where you're at in life and where you're serving and what you're doing. And even in spite of that, from the very beginning, as a new believer in Jesus, I loved studying the Bible, and I loved teaching about the Bible. I loved digging in and preparing things from the very beginning, and I just think that's a sign that I found a home in that gift particularly. And I think my two gifts are pastor-teacher, and kind of, like it says in Ephesians, I love to teach and I love to pastor and shepherd people. And that's kind of my sweet spot. And that's because God has given me the ability to do that. That's not because that's who I am. But I think that God has given me grace for those things. And I love to do that. You have areas that fall to you naturally. You have things that you love to do in terms of building up the body of Christ, in terms of being a part of what God is doing. And I think you would feel joy when you find those things, and I'm sure some of you have already found them. We're in a series called All In, and it's a brief series. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about a calling, and that is that God has called us to be a holy priesthood. It's in the Scriptures. And it's, we are New Testament priests, not Old Testament priests. The New Testament priest involved in two things, in mediating between people and God. That's who we are called to be. And also a New Testament priest offers sacrifices, but not animal sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices. And with a spiritual sacrifice, you offer your bodies to God. You offer your time and your gifts and finances and all those kind of things to God. You serve other people. Those are sacrifices that New Testament priests make. We are a holy priesthood. Then last week we talked about gifting from 1 Corinthians 12, and that each one of us here has a gift. And God has given us that gift and ability. And here's how we define spiritual gift: as in a supernatural ability to bless others and build up the body of Christ. So each one has a spiritual gift. Now, this week, somebody came to me and said, Rob, I read that passage that you talked about last week and those gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. I don't have any of those gifts. I must not have any gifts at all. And I said, oh, no, au contraire. There are other passages that talk about gifts, by the way, and we're going to look at one today in Ephesians chapter 4. And there's also in Romans chapter 12, there's a number of gifts. Here are some of those gifts mentioned in Romans chapter 12. Serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing to the needs of others, like Bike to Go, leading and showing mercy. And so, yes, there are other gifts besides the ones we talked about last week. Today, we're going to wrap up this series. We're going to bring it in for a landing with this idea of outworking. And what do I mean by that? Well, how do we work out this idea of that we are all called to be a holy priesthood, and we each have gifts, and that church is not a spectator sport, church is an involvement activity. This is, we all work together. How does that work out? So that's why I call this outworking. And we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to encourage you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll have it on the screen here. And our first point in A is this, and that is grow in God. Grow in God. That's what God wants. He wants us to grow. Let's read about it. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 11. Here it is. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of all the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, if we read through this, you notice the number of times that Paul used the words grow or growth and maturity. He used that word several times. In other words, God wants his church to grow up. He wants his church to become mature. And that means there's a process involved in us becoming mature. He really does not want us to be children forever, to be childlike forever. He wants us to definitely grow up. Just like you want your kids and your grandkids to grow up, right? You don't want to be cutting your kids' food up and feeding them, you know, when they're 30 years old. You want them to grow up and learn to cut their own food up and to eat their own food, right? We have two grandsons that just turned 4 recently in the last several months, and they both are now potty trained. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. And I want a lot for those boys. I love those boys. And I don't want to see them at soccer practice when they're 13 in diapers. Okay? They need to grow up, and they are growing up. It's encouraging to see that. They're going to be talking one of these days soon, too. I can't understand half the words that they say, but that's all right. They're, you know, we just use body language and have a lot of fun together. It seems, though, in our society, there are some people who don't quite grow up. And Kay Heimowitz is a researcher. She claims this, that single young men often loiter, here's a quote from her, single young men often loiter in a hormonal limbo between adolescence and adulthood. In this limbo, they often seem to hang out in a playground of drinking, hooking up, playing video games, and in many cases, underachieving. Do you know any single young men like that? I think that's an epidemic in our society. There's one particularly telling. Do we have a picture of there's our adolescent caught between, you know, the adolescence and adulthood here. She has one telling statistic. Listen to this. Once upon a time, video games were for little boys and girls, but those boys have grown up to become child man gamers, and they turned a niche industry into a $12 billion powerhouse. Video games are more bringing more money in than a lot of other industries. Men between the ages of 18 and 34 are now the biggest gamers. That's according to Nielsen Media. And listen to this, almost half, 48.2% of young men between the ages of 18 and 34 spend on average 2 hours and 34 minutes a day gaming. That's incredible. Do you know any young men caught between adolescence and adulthood, who that's all that they do, and they're just kind of playing at life. Now, as I read this, I was thinking about the church. Can the church be caught between adolescence and adulthood? Can the church be in a zone where we really don't want to grow up? We'd rather just pretend at life and play at life. I think it's possible. Now, I don't imagine we're in that place. I mean, maybe you've known of a church who's just kind of in this zone of between adolescence and adulthood, and they're just kind of playing at things. I don't want to do that, and I don't think you do either, do you? We want to grow up, don't we? I want to grow up, and it's a process that we all need to be involved in, and God gives us a way to grow up here. And as each part does its work, as each of us know the gift we have, and we do that gift, and we participate in the body of Christ, we no longer just observe, but we are active participants in what God is doing in our community and in our church here. Then we grow up. Then we mature. And that's the call, I think, that God has for us. But how do you define maturity? How are you going to know when we get it? How are you going to know when we reach maturity? Paul tells us in this passage, look what he says, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Jesus is our maturity, the measure of Jesus. So when you and I begin to look like Jesus, and we begin to talk like Jesus and act like Jesus, that's the measure of maturity. When our lives reflect who Jesus is, then we can say, hey, we are on the road. We are becoming mature, and we're not childlike anymore. We're not reflecting what somebody else thinks and what somebody else believes. We're not acting like adolescents anymore. We are acting like Jesus in love and compassion and service for other people. And we're talking like Jesus talked, and we're saying the things Jesus said. That's the measure of maturity, and that's what Paul says here. And this whole idea of maturity is not an individual thing either. I mean, we tend to think of that in our society, that maturity is something we all do alone in our homes and we grow up. We do not grow alone. Here's point one under A, we grow in community. We grow in community. Now, normally as Americans, we tend to be very individualistic, don't we? I think we tend to be, you know, that my growth is my growth, my job is my job, I do what I want, and I'm really not accountable to anybody else. I mean, that's just the American way in so many ways. That's why people moved from the east out west to get their own piece of land and do whatever they wanted to do. And what did we pick as the national bird? You know, we picked the lone eagle, the independent lone eagle who does his own thing. You know that Benjamin Franklin wanted a different bird. Are you aware of that? Which one? Yes, the wild turkey. Benjamin Franklin wanted the wild turkey to be our national bird. Now, it's not as glamorous. The turkey's not as glamorous as the bald eagle, right? But turkeys learn to hang around in flocks. Turkeys grow together. Turkeys hang out. They don't hang around individually. They hang out together. And I think turkeys have a good example for us. Wild turkeys, even though they're messy and dirty, wild turkeys are a great example for us to hang out together because we grow together and we live together. So it's clear that Paul wants the church in this passage to grow together. Here's verse 13a again. Until we all reach unity in the faith. That is when we all practice our gifts and we are all firing on all cylinders and we are all doing what God made us to do and everybody's doing their part, then we all attain maturity there. We all reach unity in the faith. Here's verse 16 again. From Him, that is Jesus, the whole body, that is not just one or two of us, the whole body joined together and joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love just as each part does its work. So it's not just one person growing in isolation. It's not just one family saying, well, we're not like those people, but we'll grow here in our little corner. It's all of us growing together, the whole body, with every supporting ligament doing their part. We grow in community, and God planned it that way. This is a bit of an aside, but I think it's illustrative of something that we do well together. Mike Johnson came into my office this week, and he was packing up his motorhome, heading up to Kettle Falls to do some repair on the dam up there and some work. And he said to me he wants to stay busy. And he's lost Debbie. He said, I thought I'd grow old together with Debbie. He said, he just wants to stay busy and active, and he's doing that. But he said, I'm so grateful for the church and what the church did together through Debbie's illness and her passing. And the number of people who went over there to sit with Debbie so Mike could go out and do something, because he was doing care 24/7. And if you don't know, Debbie had ALS and just passed a couple weeks ago from that. And I mean, there were 9 months' journey of that. And he was so grateful. They were both so grateful for the way the church rallied around and came there and sat with her and brought help and encouragement and brought food. And then the memorial. And people made food and took care of things for the memorial as well. And he was saying, well, I'm so glad for the church. He said, what would people do without the church, without a church like this? And I think that's a great illustration of just what the church can do together when everybody's doing what they can do. We all can't do that. Not everybody can do every one of those things. But together, when everybody does a little bit, we grow together and we serve together. And I think that's a great illustration. And I thank you for the things that you've done to help not just Mike and Debbie, but others in their journey. Thank you so that we function and grow together. Number two, we grow when gifts are used. When gifts are used. Now, everybody chipping in is cool. Everybody doing their part is absolutely cool. And it's meaningful, whether it's a cleanup day like yesterday or a memorial or kids zone. But I really want you to grow and go in the area of your gifting, in the area you're made to do. Last week I talked about the animal school and about the animals were made to take all the classes. And what they ended up doing, the instructors in the animal school ended up taking the animals and forgetting about their strengths and trying to get them to work on their weaknesses. And so everybody was generally ineffective. God doesn't want that kind of thing going on in the church. God wants us to be used in the church. Now, we need to work on our weaknesses. I know that. But God wants us in the church to be used in the areas of our strengths, in the areas that He has made us to do. And that's why I think this class that Doug is teaching is so important. If you do not know your gift or gifts, to find that out and then concentrate on using your doing what you do, doing what God made you to do. And we grow when you use the gifts God has given you to use, right? In this passage that we read, Paul starts out with leadership gifts. He talks about some of the leaders. He says this, so Christ himself gave, what gifts did Christ give the church? He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. So those are spiritual gifts in the leadership direction. And so does that mean then God gives these gifts? Does he want these leadership gifts to do all the work in the church? They're supposed to do the ministry while everybody else looks at the leaders doing their ministry. Yeah, not at all. No, not at all. What he gives the leadership gifts, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for a specific reason. What is it? Yes, to equip the church. Absolutely. Here's the reason that God gives leadership gifts. To equip his people for works of service. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity of the faith. So God gives certain gifts so that other gifts could be used, so that they just don't do everything, but so that everybody gets to participate and everybody gets to do what they are made to do. That's why God gives the specific leadership gifts. Leaders do function and they do different things, but they also train others and they also involve other people and they also help and encourage everybody to do their part, to do what God has given them to do. Now, I've got to confess, I don't think I've done the best at this. I mean, if I'm honest with you, I mean, I love to do ministry. And sometimes I think I've got to do ministry because I don't think anybody else will do it the way I'll do it. Right? I mean, I'm just being honest, right? I want to do ministry because I know that the end product, hopefully it'll be good. I'm just saying that's part of my weakness. I mean, I just want to do it all. But that's not necessarily the best thing for the church. And how are you going to get trained to do something unless you jump in and do it and then make a mistake and, you know, learn from that? So you can pray for me. I want to do better at that. I want to not just do ministry. I want to help train everybody else to do ministry as well so that we're all serving and then we all reach the unity in the faith. So, pardon me for that. And I hope that us leaders can do better at that in the future of not just doing ministry, but in helping everybody to do ministry as well. So notice that Paul uses in this passage the S word here, and that is service. He uses the word service in here, and that is a highlight of this. And that fits nicely into our motto at Chattery Community Church, which is loving God and serving others. Exactly. So our motto fits in with the direction that Paul has for the church here. Now, Paul uses he talks about gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 and this passage in Ephesians 4. And he lists a number of gifts. That's where we get the list of gifts that there are. And I think there's some in the Old Testament that aren't included in that. And it's kind of fun to look at some of those. Now, Peter has a summary of the gifts. He doesn't list gifts. He has a summary of the gifts. And I think Peter's got some instructions that I really like about the gifts. And we're going to turn there now. And we're going to read the gifts in point B. This is where we're at. Glorify God. And that's this portion on what Peter's talking about. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. We've just got two verses that we're going to read. But I love these verses because I think they give this a picture of the gifts that is really cool. Let's take a look at that. And it's a killer wrap-up. 1 Peter 4 verses 10 and 11. Here's what Peter says. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So Peter, instead of listing different gifts like Paul does or responding to, some situation, he does this little summary. And he talks about the gifts in that way. And he summarizes and he puts them in a couple different categories. And then he gives us some general instructions on the gifts. The first point under B is this, the focus of gifts. And now, the focus of gifts. Now, what Peter does here is similar to what Paul does. He talked about the importance of service. And that, again, dovetails with our motto here, loving God and serving others. Here's what he says. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, right? So the focus of spiritual gifts is to serve people. It's not to show off your gift. It's not to show how good you are in that, to display your skills, although that may happen. The focus of gifts is to serve other people. And I think you guys do fantastic with this, with things like Bite to Go or More Than a Snack, and with working at UGM and North County Food Pantry and New Hope Resource Center, Sandwiches for Citygate, Awana, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You are involved in a number of, and there are more than that too, I know. I just can't list them all right now. I can't pull them off the top of my head. But service is the focus, and you guys do so good at that. Thank you for your service. It's, you know, when we, as elders, a number of years ago, when we went through and talked about our motto, it did not take long to come up with loving God and serving others, because it comes out of, I think, the DNA of this church. I think it's just something that we have done. So talking about serving others isn't something that we invented out of whole cloth. It's something that grew up kind of out of the grassroots, out of the DNA of what you are doing already, which I think is cool. Rick Warren is a pastor in Southern California, Saddleback Church. And Dan Cathy is the president and CEO of Chick-fil-A. I wish we had a Chick-fil-A in Spokane. To my knowledge, we do not. It's coming? Really? No, what? Rumors. Okay. All right. Well, can you all pray that we get Chick-fil-A here? I've only heard about Chick-fil-A. I've always wanted to taste Chick-fil-A, but I'm not ready to travel, you know, hundreds of miles to do it. So, anyway, Rick Warren and Dan Cathy were in Southern California. Dan Cathy was there to open up several new Chick-fil-A restaurants, and they were near Saddleback Church, and he knew Rick Warren, so they got together. Here's what Rick Warren says. We were looking at the building where they were building these things. While we were there, we were hungry, so we went next door to, I think it was a Taco Bell, some other fast food, in competition with Chick-fil-A. We'd been out, our hands were sweaty and dirty, and we went into the restroom and washed our hands. Then I watched as Dan took out extra sheets of paper towels, and this is the CEO of a chain of restaurants. I watched him pull them out, and I watched him hand clean the sinks of the Taco Bell bathroom we were just in. If you've ever been in a Taco Bell bathroom, you know what that might be like. Right, that's just my aside. I looked at him and said, "Thank you for doing that, Dan." He said, "Rick, we teach our staff to always leave any place they are at better than it was when they found it, whether it's our place or not." Here's what Rick Warren says. Nobody at Taco Bell Corporate knew that the CEO of their competition just cleaned their bathroom for free. Wow. That's service. That is service right there. Cleaning somebody else's spot. Doing something for somebody else that nobody knows about. Dan Cathy, the president and CEO, cleaning somebody else's bathroom for free. That's service. And that's the focus of what we as believers are to be involved in. Number two, the source of gifts. The source of gifts. And I love this part because it's all about God. It's all about what God gives and what God does. And we're going to talk a little bit about New Testament Greek. I don't bring that up often, but I think it's instructive in this particular case. Here's what Peter says in verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So grace is the source of our spiritual gift. That's where it comes from. Let's look at some of these words now. Charisma is the New Testament. It's a Greek word for spiritual gift. You see spiritual gift in there? It's translating the word charisma. You've heard the word charisma before. That's a Greek phrase. Look at the word for grace is charis. And the word for joy is chara. They share the same root. Now, I think it's perfectly legitimate to say that a spiritual gift is a grace package from God. And Peter talks about it in its various forms. And it's like Christmas time. People have Father Christmas distributing gifts, like in the Chronicles of Narnia. And each gift is a little different, and each gift is what somebody else needs for the building up of the body. And so this package, this little wrapped thing, is a grace package, and it's different for each one of you, that God gives you to say, here you are, here's the way you will serve, here's what I want you to do. And so it's an ability that comes from God. It's not something you whip up on your own, and we can get better at it, and we can learn at that. But it's a grace package. It's something that is a supernatural ability, which I think is pretty awesome. So the whole idea of gifts is not about how hard you work or what you do. You can't earn that. You don't deserve it. It's something that God gives you whole cloth, and the Holy Spirit decides who gets what gift, and He knows that what gifts are needed to make everything work together. I think that's pretty cool. And so if you take this grace package that God has given you, and you learn about it, and you begin to function in that, you receive joy. Don't you? If you find your sweet spot, have you ever done something where you get involved in something and you just keep doing it and you enjoy it so much you forget to eat? Now, I would never forget to eat, but I would enjoy it and then eat afterwards. Or doing something where you lose track of time because it's such a great, you just enjoy what you're doing. I think that's a sign that you are found your sweet spot. And that could be the zone of your sweet spot or the zone of your spiritual gift where you are doing what you were made to do. And then you get joy from doing the things God equipped you to do. I really firmly believe that. And that's a sweet thing that God gives to each one of us, is we're doing the things He's called us to do. We get grace from Him, and we get joy in the process. I think that's cool. So that's the source of gifts, is grace, God's gift to you. The components of gifts. Number three, the components of gifts. Now, Peter and God want us to see that there are special ingredients He wants to be used. And He gives you this grace package, and then He puts something, He wants special ingredients to infuse these gifts. We're going to see what those are. I call this the secret sauce of each of these gifts, these combination of gifts, or these categories of gifts. Let's read it again. If anyone speaks, they should do so as the one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. So the first thing Peter does, not like Paul, he doesn't list the gifts. What he does is divide them up into two categories. You've got speaking gifts and serving gifts. So the speaking gifts are like teaching, apostle, prophecy, tongues, leadership, that kind of thing. Speaking gifts. And then they have the serving gifts, which is helps, administration, encouragement, giving, faith, healing, those kind of things. So that there are speaking gifts and serving gifts. And now, what's the secret sauce for the speaking gifts? It's the Word of God. The Word of God is the secret sauce. That's what God wants to be involved in these speaking gifts. So if you have a speaking gift, whether it's teaching or encouragement or whatever, use the Word of God in that. God's Word is going to be the determining factor as to whether a teaching or a prophecy rises or falls. It's God's Word that's the stone that breaks the other stones. It's the one who falls on everything else. It's God's Word that is the determinant as to whether or not a speaking gift is functioning in the correct way. That's the secret sauce. For the longest time, Amanda LeMond felt a bit adrift in this life because her mother left her at an early age. The one thing she has from her mother she had recently is a little animal bunny, a stuffed bunny that her mother had given her at Easter time. When she was younger, she says, "I wouldn't give that bunny up for the world." Her mother died 23 years ago from bone cancer. And Amanda said, "After my mom passed away, I was shipped all over the country from Washington State to Texas, to Louisiana, to Texas, back to Washington, back to Texas, in and out of foster care." One Saturday, Amanda LeMond received a package in the mail. And what happened was executor of her mother's estate was moving and discovered a box that she'd forgotten existed. And it was a box of her mother's things. And she sent that to Amanda. 23 years after her mother died, she got a box of mementos, photographs, her own birth certificate, and letters her mother had written to her just before she died. Can you imagine what it would be like to receive something like that? You have a picture. This is Amanda. And she's reading here. There was a news story done on her. She's reading the letter that her mother hand wrote her. She says, "These glimpses into my past I've sorely longed for over two decades, and they showed up and just made my day." Here's one of part of the letter. "Dear Amanda, you know I really miss you, not being able to get up with you every day." She said, "Well, honey, try to keep smiling and be brave." And obviously, there's more there. Amanda said, "It's a connection to my mother I thought I would never have." 23 years after the fact, after her mother died. She felt lost for those 23 years in a way until these things showed up from her mother. And she says, they're messages of love and encouragement and inspiration. The Bible is an old letter from God to you. It's a letter of love and encouragement and inspiration. Are you reading it? I think that's why the Bible is like the secret sauce in our speaking gifts. We want to hear what God has to say to us. We want to hear that original voice and not just somebody's opinion. We want to hear from God. So the secret sauce in our speaking gifts is the Word of God. And so that we can echo what God has said to other people in how we serve in those ways. So what's the secret sauce in the serving category? Let's read it again. If anyone speaks, they should do so as the one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. See, there's the secret sauce right there, the strength that God provides. So if your gift is in the area of showing mercy, giving, helps, encouragement, those kind of things, don't do that in your own strength. Don't do that, you know, I've got to dig deep and make this happen. You do that out of the strength that God provides. And so you're not trying hard to do it, white-knuckling that gift. You are serving others, saying, God, I need, Holy Spirit, fill me. I need your help to do what I'm about to do. Give me the grace and strength to do what you want me to do with healing, encouragement, helps, mercy, whatever it is. God, give me that. And I think that you, if you run on your own energy, you will run out quickly, right, of things you can do. If you run on the energy of God, you will have everything you need to do exactly what He's called you to do. All right, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and run on His strength. So it's God's Word and God's strength. There's a secret sauce in whatever gift you have. God's Word and God's strength. Now, why are they the secret sauce? Why not some other secret sauce in the gifts? Number four, the purpose of gifts. And here's the ultimate reason that God gives us gifts and wants us to function in this way. It's also why we acknowledge that gifts are grace packages and not just some ability we have, some innate ability. It's also the ultimate reason why we are alive. Here it is. If anyone speaks, they should do so as the one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that, here's the reason, in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. God's Word, God's strength, God's glory. God gives spiritual gifts. He gives grace packages. We use Him with His Word. We use His strength. And He receives the glory for that. Rather than our words, our strength, and our glory, right? Rather than us doing our thing for God, we do what He's given us to do, using His Word, using His strength, and He gets the credit. He gets the glory. That's the beauty of this thing that God has laid out. He wants to receive honor and credit and glory for this because He's the one who made it happen. He's the one who did all this stuff. God's Word, God's strength, God's glory, or your Word, your strength, your glory. Smokey Robinson, is that a familiar name to you? Smokey Robinson? He has performed, you know, with Motown for years, I think over 50 years. Smokey Robinson has written over 4,000 songs. You can imagine that. Tears of a Clown, is that familiar? What's the other one I have written down here? Tears of a Clown and Shop Around. Smokey Robinson says this, I am not a religious man, but I have a great relationship with God. Smokey Robinson. So he's got fame. I mean, people know who Smokey Robinson is. He's got royalty checks that just keep coming, so he's got everything taken care of. In spite of the achievements, in spite of writing 4,000 songs and the fame and the accolades and the money and everything else, he says, I have a great relationship with God. And he says this, do you think you're just flesh and blood and that's it? No. He sums up his successful career as a writer and a performer with this. I feel that all the music I've ever done is a gift from God. Maybe that's a grace package that God gave Smokey Robinson. I don't know how somebody else writes 4,000 songs without having something from another source there. And just this is bonus for extra points, pop quiz. Do you remember the name of the group that Smokey Robinson fronted? Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. Exactly. Why would he call them the Miracles? I don't know. Maybe then his life is a miracle. So, If you use your own thoughts, your own strength, and your own ability in church, you may get praised, but ideally it's God's grace packaged to you, utilized with His Word and His strength, and then who gets the credit? God gets the credit. Like Smokey Robinson, you too will say, this is just a gift from God. This is a grace package from God that He has given me. So God is the one who put this all together. God is the one who makes it happen. And so all in, we're wrapping up the series all in. And what we've talked about in this time is that football teams and orchestras and NASCAR pit crews and church all have something in common. We need everybody doing what they're made to do to get things accomplished, to do what God has given us to do. Everybody has a gift. Everybody needs to be involved in that. This is not a spectator sport. It's not church as an observation on Sunday for an hour and a half, and then we go, and then the rest of the week. It is participation 24/7, doing what God has given you to do. And so let me encourage you to volunteer, to jump into a place, to do something in the church. Let me encourage you, especially if you're not familiar with spiritual gifts, or you don't know, or you're not sure about your spiritual gift, to take Doug's class. You can sign up back in the cookie time back there. And if you're afraid of missing the rest of the Goliath series, there's another class starting right after the one he's going to do. It's a 5-week class. So let me encourage you to do that, right? So that we can grow together and we can glorify God. Right? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this design that You have with gifts and with the grace and the glory and everything You've put together, Lord. It's amazing. You want to use us and You want us to participate with You. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to know our gifts and to find that sweet spot for each one where there's joy and we're operating in the grace of God and it's glory to God because of what we do. Lord, would You help us to be a church like that to reflect who You are? Thank You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.